Good morning and welcome to First Covenant this morning. Apparently, we all remember to adjust our clocks. I don't know, I can remember years in the past, both spring and fall, when people arrived at church late or early or whatever. It was always at least one. So we'll find that out later if anybody forgot. Well, welcome. Just a few announcements. March is Food Shelf Month, and we traditionally collect both monetary donations and food for the food shelf in March because they can multiply that for their use. So there's a box and an envelope in the foyer for that. We invite you downstairs for coffee and conversation after the service this morning. The council will be meeting on Wednesday at 6:30 to handle any current church business. Looking into the future, the women's renewal event, the women's ministries of the Evangelical Covenant Church will be meeting in Grand Forks on April 5th and 6th, and that is always an enjoyable time. They move around the conference and meet with speakers and vendors and that kind of thing, just to become more familiar with women's ministries. So that will happen April 5th and 6th, and if you're interested, there's some registration forms downstairs as well as online. I think those are the announcements for this morning. If you would take your bulletin and stand, we will read the call to worship responsively. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being.
Praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
And forget not all his benefits.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him.
And remain standing and take your blue hymnal and turn to hymn number 430, and we will join together singing Blessed Assurance.
Praising my Savior.
join me in prayer. Let's live each day with our souls at peace because of this blessed assurance. Dear Lord, thank you for the promise from Jesus in John 5. I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Amen. You may be seated.
Morning, everyone. We are going to start this morning's reading with Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than the honey of the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our next reading will be from John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of God.
have the usher come forward, please. From Deuteronomy 16, every man, and they shall not appear before the Lord God empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. With the free will offering I will sacrifice to you, Lord. I will give thanks in your name, for it is good. Amen. Please stand and join in the doxology. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of ye heavenly. Before we go to prayer this morning, are there any prayer requests or words of praise that you would like to share? Okay, join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the freedom to gather and worship. We thank and praise you for the gift of your Son, eternal life, and for the Holy Spirit who guides us each day. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that for those who are not with us this morning, whether they be ill or traveling, we pray that you will have your hand upon them. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of healing. So many people have experienced your healing for short-term illness as well as long-term illness, and we thank you for that, Lord. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the world. So much turmoil, so many natural disasters, We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would show us what to do, how to help, the words to say. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that you are sending people of faith to all of those areas to assist, and we hope and pray that those of us here at home will do what we can. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the local law enforcement people and EMS, healthcare workers that help keep us healthy and safe in our community. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would be with the city as they make important decisions regarding their employees. We thank you, Lord, for missionaries such as Randy and Cheryl Beavis. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for Thailand on their behalf. We know that there are some special needs there, and we pray that you would be with the people of Thailand, the people of faith in Thailand, as they share the gospel, as well as assist their friends and neighbors. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the scripture that you have provided for us, so that you can teach us through your word, comfort us through your word, guide us through your word, and share your love. From Psalm 89, dear Lord, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly and to be held in reverence by all those around him. In your name, Lord, we rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness you are exalted. For you are the glory and the strength and your favor, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord and our King, the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Before Paul shares with us this morning, if you would turn to hymn number 78, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we will sing that together. Great now
Pure religion is that you take care of the fatherless and widows in the time of their need and keep yourself uncorrupted by the world. Reynosa is a large city of 700,000 located on the Texas-Mexico border near McAllen. It has the highest industrial development in the border area and the state. 152 companies generate 250,000 direct jobs for the city. It can also be dangerous, especially for the fatherless and struggling single mothers. Every year, over 300 people, primarily young women and girls, go missing in the city. Young men and boys without direction are easy prey for organized crime. For 30 years, Rio Bravo Ministries has provided a home for this vulnerable group, shielding them from the city's dark side during their youth and preparing them to be independent adults. Casa Hogar Rio Bravo is a shelter that can care for 60 children in family-style cottages. We nurture and love them in the home by providing education, counseling, medical care, and spiritual enrichment. We aim to break the destructive cycle of abuse, neglect, and shame, and replace it with an opportunity for each child to live a life of self-respect, responsibility, and productivity. In 2000, the home created Colegio Puente de Esperanza, a private Christian school to serve the unique needs of the children in our care. Now open to the community, the school has a yearly enrollment of 400 students from kindergarten through high school. The school's mission is to provide quality Christian education to the children in the home and partner with Christian families wanting a faith-based education for their children. With a staff of 40 local professionals, the school is the backbone of the work we do with the children, providing education, discipline, socialization, activities, and direction. In 2016, we started a sister school in a poor rural area outside the city. This school provides quality Christian education to the residents of this community that was not available before. Enrollment is tuition-free for the community's residents, and the students receive a complimentary breakfast before every school day. Rio Bravo Ministries shows our commitment to the community with our outreach program. The ultimate goal is to make disciples of Christ. We host and facilitate conferences, youth camps, staff training, and spiritual retreats for local churches and organizations throughout the year. Classes for street children are held at local churches with the goal of getting them back in school. Rio Bravo Ministries hosts mission teams throughout the year that support the community through construction projects to repair, expand, and plant new churches, and host free medical clinics held at local churches to encourage church participation. The name of the home and school is Puente de Esperanza, which means Bridge of Hope. For 30 years, Rio Bravo Ministries has been a bridge of hope and refuge for unwanted, unloved, neglected children. The school has been a community pillar by providing jobs for teachers and educating generations of students with a Christian worldview. If you want to support our work, you can go to our website at rio-bravo.org to make an online donation. There will be more information about the ministry.
That again. Whoa.
Okay, well, I don't want to start with that howling going on. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's try this. Whoa, still a little hot for me. I've got a little bit of a voice to not need too much amplification. The reason that video played, as my dad is trying to, if I move it way down here, that works a little bit better. The reason that video played was the church here has helped my family go down to Rio Bravo Ministries the last few years. And we go with Lakeview Christian Academy out of Duluth. I was asked 3 years ago, probably 2 weeks before the trip, if I would go down and lead worship for them. For their, it's more of a high school, but some junior hires go. And we go down to the orphanage down there, and we do work projects. We hang out with the kids. Go to the classes. We do a lot of different things. And this year, it's during their winter break, which is the week of President's Week. So we went down there. It is a 26-hour bus trip one way with a bunch of high schoolers. I'm 40. So riding on a bus for 26 hours is, I think, rough at most ages, because you can't get comfortable on those seats at all. So we made it down there. We had a great... this was probably the first year that we really haven't had issues with our busing going down. The first year I went, we made it as far as it was the sandstone exit, and we blew a tire on one of the buses. We had two buses that year. So we ended up, there were eight of us. Three adults and five kids that loaded into a Suburban and a trailer. Everybody else went off of bus one and got onto bus two, so they were overcrowded. And the eight of us piled into a Suburban with pulling a trailer. And we were also, I don't know, 6 hours behind the other bus getting down there. So being one of the adults in that truck, it was 3 hours driving, 3 hours helping navigate, 3 hours sleeping. Constantly switching over, that was an interesting trip. Second year, so it was my son and I the first year, JD. Rachel has the stomach flu, so she is finishing up being cleared of that, and both JD and Grace are kind of teetering on whether they have it or not, so that's why I'm the only one here today. So first year it was just JD and I. Second year all four of us decided that we were going to go down, and then this last year the four of us went down as well. So we got back a little over 3 weeks ago, and this year was a little bit different. Our normal cook, unfortunately her mom the like 3 days before we were leaving, the cook's mother has a terminal cancer and was not doing well, so she was not able to join us. So 3 days before even us loading the bus, we had nobody to cook for us as we were down there. Nobody to go shopping for us, nobody to do anything. But that was all figured out where we had a local church in Reynosa actually came and cooked for us the entire week while we were down there, which was amazing. Authentic Mexican food made by real Mexicans. You know, you just, it's not Taco Bell Mexican food. It's real Mexican food. Rachel says, well, we've been preparing most of our lives for that because that's pretty much all we eat at home is some good Mexican food. So we had very amazing food. It was really funny because some of the people that they just wanted a burger were eating tamales. So they served up the tamales, and she's like, how do I eat this? Well, you unwrap it out of the corn husk, and then you eat what's inside. And then somebody said, well, if you want to eat the corn husk, it just adds fiber to your diet. So if you really wanted to. But this year was a really great year. We had a very good mix of different things that we did. We're known as a group that goes down and does carnivals. We did two carnivals this year, one at what's called the, on the video there was a picture of the blue buildings when they were talking about that second school. That's called the Blue School. The Blue School was the secondary one that the state of, or the city around that area had the school. And it was just derelict and run down and just decimated. Ray, the founder of Rio Bravo Ministries, the founder of the children's home, he kind of took it under his wing and revitalized it. And we've been doing projects there and doing all kinds of stuff. And it's becoming this beautiful campus and this beautiful facility. He was actually paying the teachers. But then the city comes in and goes, oh, you are doing such a great job. We're going to take it back. And now it's starting to tank a little bit. So we're, part of our project was, is we were working on a high school building that was there. We moved probably 40 square yards of dirt. And the amazing thing there is, you know, if we need dirt, we go to the aggregate place and load up our trucks or have them come and dump it. We drove a tractor 3 miles through the city. From the children's home to the school, and at the school we just kind of scooped up dirt off the side of the road and used it for fill in the back of the area that we were working in. The big thing though is in Mexico, that's their garbage dump. We picked probably two wheelbarrows full of garbage out of that dirt as we were trying to fill it, just to not have some of that stuff in there, because there's shards of glass, there's chunks of metal, there's rubber hoses, there's all kinds of stuff. So we moved a lot of dirt, we moved a lot of bricks, which was good for some of the kids. Other kids liked the opportunity to go and talk to the English classes, because the kids that are at the school home, they actually are given a K-12 education, and part of their junior and senior high is they're learning to speak English. In Mexico, if you can speak English, you can make more money. So they are trying to make it so that anybody who comes out of the program is going to be able to be able to support themselves and their family and be better off. So some of the kids got to go into the English classes and have conversations with them. Say some of those kids had better English skills than some of our kids. So it's such a great experience to be down there and just to learn how to really serve God and do what we need to do. growing up, you know, coming out of this church, we never really had mission trips go out. And we would do little service projects here and there and that kind of stuff. But this 3 years ago was the first year that I went way out of my comfort zone, way out of where I knew I was, into this area to go and do this. And it has been 3 years, and fortunately, unfortunately, my wife and I might be being tapped to be the next leaders of this mission trip. So the two, Gary and Val Valine, the people who have been organizing this for years, Gary's retiring this in a couple months, so they're looking to not be as involved with it. And Val told Rachel that you guys might be good at doing this, so that'd be interesting to have to take over, but would be very very fun. So again, I thank First Covenant in Virginia, my family as well, if they were here, for the support that you guys gave us to help us go down there. I got an email about last week saying that we still have a deficit of about $2,900 to fully pay for the trip, with busing and everything, just because our numbers were a little bit lower this year. There were 31 of us total that went down, and that was well below our break-even point. But we still went down knowing that God's going to provide everything that we need to make sure that we're going to do what He wants us to do. So if you have any more questions about it, I'd love to sit down and chat with you after. It was an awesome time. Driving in Mexico is crazy. Stop signs, well, any road sign, street sign, lines on the road, if there are any, are all optional. So it's kind of like driving through the Northwoods. So that leads me to my message. Funny thing, as we went to church on Sunday, so we went to a completely Spanish-speaking church. Sunday, so we got there Saturday. Sunday, we go to the church. And then we did the carnival after that. At the church, I've been thinking about what I'm going to preach on and just getting things in the hopper. And Acts 26 came into my mind as I was doing devotions and some other things. And all of a sudden, that's what the pastor was preaching on that Sunday when we were there. I'm like, okay, I don't understand a word you're saying, but I have the Bible here and I can see, you know, I see that you're in Acts 26. So when I was doing more involved with youth ministry, you know, you have to do all these crazy, stupid little icebreaker games on all events because there might be somebody there that you don't know. Well, one of the games that we would always play is Two Truths and a Lie. Anybody play that one before? I know this might be a little bit of an older crowd, but Two Truths and a Lie. So you have to give two truths and one lie, and the group has to figure out what the truths are and what the lie is. So I have my two truths and a lie for you. My first one is, I have only been medically told I broke one bone in my body. That's a different thing. I'm the only one of the three of us, my two brothers, that received a college degree. And I got married when I was 21 years old. And I don't even know if my mom knows the answer to that one. The bone? Do you know about another one that I broke that I didn't know about? I only broke my ankle. It was when I got that I got married at 21. I was 20 when I got married. You know, it's those little semantics involved with that. So why do I lead off with something silly like that? What does that have to do with what we're hearing in Acts? Let's go into it and see. So if you turn with me to Acts 26, this is a powerful passage that tells us of a lot of the kind of the history of where Paul's been in his ministry. It serves as a powerful reminder of the redeeming power of Christ and the call for us to boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ. So it starts off, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You have permission to speak for yourself.' So Paul motioned with his hand to and began his defense. 'King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee, and now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness of light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the Gentiles. Also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles.' At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. 'You are out of your mind, Paul,' he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane.' 'I am not insane, most excellent Festus,' Paul replied. 'What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to them. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice, and those sitting with them. They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your word that you give to us, that we can look at daily and glean more and more awesome information. We thank you for the challenges that you give us through your word to help us to live a better life, a life that you are calling us to live. A life where we can be as Paul here and just know where we've been and know where we're going and know that our faith and our love and our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul's been around a while, hasn't he? At this point, last night when I couldn't sleep, I found a timeline of Paul's life. Get to the very top of it. So at 31, Paul became a Pharisee. At 32, he was around when Stephen was stoned. He was kind of in the outskirts of it. 33, when he was 33 years old, is when he started his persecution of the church. At 34 years old, now roughly, this is all speculation, not knowing exactly the timeline. Around the age of 34 is when Paul had his Damascus Road conversion experience. So now we're jumping into Acts 26, and let's see, Paul gets to Damascus, he gets his eyesight back, he starts preaching about Jesus, he travels to Arabia, he returns to Damascus, he goes up to Jerusalem, he goes back to Tarsus, back to his hometown. He meets up with Barnabas, and they travel back to Tarsus. Barnabas travels to Tarsus to seek out Saul. Then they both go to Antioch. From Antioch, they go back to Jerusalem, where they're bringing some money that was given to them. Barnabas and Saul return with John Mark. Barnabas and Saul separated. They travel to Antioch. They travel to Cyprus. On and on and on. Ooh, this was always a good one. He was stoned. So at 48, so we kind of jumped ahead 15 years. At 48, Paul gets stoned at Lystra, and they left him for dead. And lo and behold, he gets up and walks back into the city and starts preaching again. Goes back to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas return to Antioch. Paul, he meets up with Silas, and they go to Syria and Cilicia. I gotta find where we're at now. Travels around some more, returns to Antioch, stopping in Ephesus, Caesarea, and Jerusalem. Starts a ministry in Ephesus, goes to Macedonia, travels to Greece, goes back to Macedonia. On and on and on. And then we get to the point where Paul gets arrested. He's 57 years old. Paul gets arrested. And the only reason Paul is still alive is because he says, hold on, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't kill me. You can't hurt me. And that's where all these little trials start happening. So Paul goes before the Sanhedrin. He is bearing witness. He's told that he's going to bear witness in Rome. So he's got to figure out how he's going to get there. But yet he's in chains. He's locked up to two guards and a bunch of other people. They're trying to kill Paul. Paul's sent before Felix, the governor of the area. Paul goes to Festus. Now we're into Paul before Agrippa. So Paul is now right around 59, 60 years old. And he's on trial. For telling everybody about Jesus. For going against what the Sanhedrin, going against what the Pharisees, going against what Rome is saying. So as we start looking at verse 26, or chapter 26, sorry, Paul says, I've been around. I started out, I learned how to be a Pharisee, I was trained, I was brought up, this is my job. And then it all changed. He says, I was there, I was on the front lines, I was naming the Jews who needed to be put to death, who were going against what the high priest, the Sadducees, everybody was saying. He's going against what is being told. He's pointing out those people who are saying, Jesus is the Lord. And then all of a sudden he's going to Damascus. He's going to Damascus to go point out more people. To go tell the authorities that this group here is doing bad things. This group here is saying, Jesus is God, not we have to go through the high priest. We have to do it this way. They're saying, this is the way to do it. Jesus is the way. And he talks about his blinding encounter. He sees a bright light and he can't see anything. Going back earlier in, it was like scales were on his eyes. Everything went dark. And the vision says, not the vision, Jesus tells him, in the light, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this to me? And Paul says, I don't know who you are. Even the most zealous opposers of Christ can be transformed by His grace and His love. Paul goes on to describe the divine encounter in detail and that Christ commissions him to be a witness to the Jews, the Gentiles, the Romans, everybody. Christ's encounter with Paul transformed him. It can transform us from darkness into light and equipping us for His service. And as we go on, this is Paul talking about being obedient to this vision, being obedient to what Christ told him. His commitment to proclaiming the gospel to everyone, not just the kings, not just the high priest, not just these people, to everyone, from the smallest to the oldest to the youngest, from the smallest to the biggest. It didn't matter to Paul. Paul just wanted to share his faith in his message of Christ. And the big thing of what I want to get to is the bold testimony before King Agrippa. The boldness of Paul sharing his testimony before King Agrippa. And I chuckle at the comment. In verse 28, then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul says, "It doesn't matter. Short time, long time. I want you and you and you and you and you all to know about Jesus. If it happens now, if it happens later, I'm here to share the love of who Christ is with you." No one knows if anyone came to know Jesus that day. But Paul's testimony was so important. He was preaching truth to the kings and governors of the area, just as Jesus said he would. He was also on his way to Rome to ultimately fulfill more of what Jesus told him he was going to do. He was going to go in front of Caesar to be able to do the same thing, to proclaim Jesus Christ. Paul stated the facts of the gospel, and King Agrippa was almost persuaded to believe. The fact of Jesus' resurrection is still a stumbling block for many people. People have a hard time fathoming anyone coming back to life. Christianity is the only religion whose prophet is still alive. That's why when we celebrate Easter here in a couple weeks, it's so important. Without Easter, Christmas kind of loses all its meaning. So, why the two truths and a lie? Paul told us everything through his life. Your story matters. Our stories matter. When we start to talk about who Jesus is to us. You can make that lie sound really good. I had a couple other ones that I think my mom may have really scratched her head on. There's a lot of things that we can say that if it's not true, it's not a true witness to who Christ is, to what Christ has done. It's our job as Christians to tell other people the facts about who Jesus is, about how he changed our own lives and how the Holy Spirit works in our life now. But it's God's job to work in the hearts of those people. It's God's work to soften those hearts. We present the facts. We attempt to persuade people like Paul. But God is the one who changes hearts. Is there someone who you think of that you need to share the facts of Jesus with? So what do we learn from Paul in Acts 26? We can have the boldness to stand firm and to talk about Jesus to people, even if they choose to ignore us or think we are not right in the head. Asking God to work in the hearts of other people so that they decide to choose Jesus is so important. So let's be inspired by the journey that Paul had. He went from darkness to light, not just darkness of not being able to see, but darkness of persecuting, of hurting, of harming, to the light of who Jesus Christ is. Knowing that the transformative power of Christ in our lives, we can recognize that no one is beyond his reach. And let our testimonies be bold and our commitments unwavering to share the gospel with the entire world, because everybody needs Jesus Christ in their lives. May we be like Paul, be obedient to the heavenly vision and shine as light in the darkness. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an awesome, awesome God. We thank you for your love that you show to us. We thank you for your unwavering love for us. Help us to be bold in our lives as we go out from here to be your people, to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your hearts to those around us. Help us to share your love with them. Help us to share why you are so important to us in our lives. You are an awesome, awesome, awesome God. And we thank you, we thank you and we love you for everything that you do for us in our lives. Help us to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So we got one more song. Hymn 222.